welcome to Always Be Comedy's Comedy Heroes. Tim, this one is from the heart. It's a person that Tim and I, the classic case of the Venn diagram being a circle, such is our unequivocal, united love for the great Adam Sandler. But Tim, before we get to it, we have to acknowledge that Sandler isn't everyone's cup of tea.
No, people have a real Marmite reaction to him. And look, you go through filmography, I can understand it, but when he's good, he is just the best. He is, I think I said this a few weeks ago, he might be my number one person in all of historical media, I think. I just adore the guy.
Oh, that's great, Tim. Love to see it. I was going to say, when Tim was saying that you might not like him, I personally can't understand how you cannot love him, but obviously I appreciate we're all different. I would personally put Sandler, I mean, if you're talking about the biggest and best, he's got to be in the same conversation as Chaplin.
There'll be some people absolutely livid at that, but I completely agree.
Just what I mean by that is, look, I'm well aware that Chaplin is probably the number one person in the history of comedy. But what I mean by that is, in terms of one man almost creating a comedy industry on his own. If you look at the people who he's helped, I mean, we'll get to it. The amount of the box office and revenue that his films have brought in, the impact he's had on comedy, also the duration of his career. The guy's been massive for over 30 years. I mean, it's extraordinary. But yeah, I'm well aware I'm on controversial ground there, given the way Chaplin moved the medium on. I get all that. I'm having an argument with myself here. Anyway, before we get to Adam Sandler, it's a big old, I mean, Tim, we could have done five parts on the Sandman, but before we get to Sandler, a bit of correspondence. Tim, Tony F writes in, not sure if you already have him in your sights for the podcast, but how about Tony Hancock? Now, did you ever fully get into Tony Hancock?
Fully into, not really, but I've definitely checked out clips, because who is the modern day comedian that everyone compares to Tony Hancock?
Paul McCaffrey.
Paul McCaffrey, absolutely. Yeah, and I love McCaffrey so much. I was like, I'm probably one of the first people to get into Tony Hancock through Paul McCaffrey. But I've been checking out some stuff and he's great.
What I would say about Hancock is that it holds up now, because a lot of it is that the Galton and Simpson writing, obviously, it sort of goes without saying how brilliant the writing is. But then his physicality, you know, the fact that he could reduce a room to rubble with just a grumpy glance, you know, the famous, you know, Armful Mate. Anyway, yeah, that's a great suggestion. I probably could and should know more about Hancock. So that would be a really good one for us to sink our teeth into. Mark B, one of our great long-term regulars, both online and in person. Right, so we asked for your all-time top tens in the history of comedy. Mark B has put so much work into this. He's explained his thinking. He's gone for cultural importance over longevity. I totally get that. He's saying it can't all be about the dollar. Yeah, I also get that. There's a line here as well. Even though the reach is global, the impact must be parochial. They must be global acts, but I can only judge based on the impact they had from a UK perspective. Mark, can I just say, we fully appreciate this. So he's given us his 10. I'll skim through. There's a couple on there that you'd expect that we talked about, but then there's a couple. So yes, there's Lucille Ball, there's Python, there's Seinfeld, but there's a couple we've not talked about, Tim. So he's got Jim Henson in there.
Yeah, I think that's a great shout. I remember reading that and thinking, I'd love to do a Jim Henson episode. The Muppets are just one of my favourite things ever.
Total and utter agreement. And also, I will hold my hands up. It's a brilliant suggestion, and I would never have thought of it myself. Same. In a million years. So that's brilliant, Mark. Buster Keaton could have put in Laurel and Hardy, Chapel, etc. But I think Keaton is at the core here. Oh, Robin Williams, yeah, absolutely. He's got Eddie Murphy in there. He's got Seinfeld. Right, okay, real food for thought. He's also got a load of honourable mentions and lots of people he could have included but didn't. Very, very, very good. Thank you. Keep your correspondence coming in. We absolutely love it. Mark's given real food for thought there. And then, as we've talked about on a recent episode, we had Aunt Mexi's travelling from Australia to come to Always Be Comedy. Since we talked about Aunt, he has written in, Tim, as he says, so many questions to ask. It's a lovely email, and there are lots of compliments, and it was so great to meet him. What to pick out here? I meant to suggest that you and Tim should do your MC open, middle, close, etc. For your 100th episode. Maybe Paris or Gamble could be the guest host. It's not a bad shout.
I like it.
It's not a bad shout. And then Comedy Heroes, he's gone with Jasper Carrot, Spike Milligan, Monty Python, The Goodies, Richard Pryor, Joan Rivers, Dan Aykroyd, French and Saunders. The list goes on and on. Do you want me to read out the big compliment at the end?
Of course.
If you delete this, I would understand. I have not stopped thinking about the time we had. The rumours are true, James. You are an outstanding MC. Sort of regret saying that as loudly as I did. Supported. Hang on. You
can't. Wowie, what's coming?
Hang on. Supported by. You can. You know what? You heard me telling myself off, and that's fine. Supported by a fantastic technician and showrunner in Tim, and a wonderful wife, not necessarily in that order. I hope we stay in touch. I look forward to visiting again in the future. What a guy.
What an absolute guy. Lovely stuff. Great to meet you.
Please keep your correspondence coming in. We are the team at alwaysbecomedy.com. If you put Comedy Heroes in your email header, or indeed if it's something else you want to talk about, I mean, heck, put in whatever you like. And then any 5-star reviews, oh, so helpful. And then across the socials at alwaysbecomedy. Right then, Tim Adam Richard Sandler, born September the 9th, 1966. What a career, what a guy. The impact he's had on popular culture in general, so many movie hits, and I talk about Saturday Night Live a lot, but one of the great stars of Saturday Night Live, interesting fact, was actually fired from Saturday Night Live. And I would say, in the history of that show, that might be one of the, let's go with the diplomatic, one of the oddest decisions ever. He was able to come back relatively recently, past couple of years, and joke about the fact that he was fired. Certainly not a bitter guy. Tim, how did you first get into Adam Sandler?
I think it was sort of the time where you're a young child, but like you're starting to get into adult comedy, certainly putting it a bit far, but comedy with some ruder bits in. And I think Adam Sandler was one of the great gateways for that sort of thing. So I remember watching Big Daddy and Happy Gilmore quite early on and just absolutely loving them. And I think Happy Gilmore was still one of the greats.
Do you know what? When I was younger, like a proper movie buff, and I was bang into Coppola and Scorsese and all of that. And if you'd asked younger me for my favourite films, I bet I'd have put things like, you know, the Godfather and so on. But the older I get, I suppose you get more honest and more comfortable with who you really are. The older I get, if you were to ask me my favourite films of all time, Planes, Trains will probably always be number one, but Happy Gilmore is top five. If I'm getting home from a gig and Happy Gilmore is on the telly and I know that I should go to bed, I'm probably going to watch Happy Gilmore until completion. I love that film. I know it's so... Oh, Tim, this brings us back to the Meryl Marco argument. So Rich Hall, comedy icon Rich Hall. I know we've talked about this before, so I'll be quick. But the great Meryl Marco, one of the absolute brains behind Letterman and such a huge figure in the history of American comedy, she said to Rich Hall that, generally speaking, there are two types of comedy: smart dumb comedy and dumb smart comedy. And Adam Sandler, and it's perfectly showcased in the film Happy Gilmore, it's clearly done by intelligent, smart dudes, and they're deliberately creating that silly comedy. And it's just silly stuff. The limousine turns up and Happy Gilmore says something like, "Wow, it must be Burt Reynolds or someone." And it's the choice of Burt Reynolds is perfect. And it's so random.
Yeah.
I've got a lot of love for that film. So for me, I was working, oh my gosh, I was working behind the bar at the ex-servicemen's club in Horsforth, in Leeds, and I would get home and Sky One would show Saturday Night Live late on a Saturday night. And it was that era of Sandler, Rock, Mike Myers, Dana Carvey, etc. And Sandler was obviously unknown then, because that was how he broke through. But with my hand to God, there and then, I was very much, this guy's got that magical, almost impossible to put your finger on, X factor, the magic ingredient, star quality. The guy had it, so he pops on that, and then was one of those guys. In the history of Saturday Night Live, certain people are able to take the star wattage on the show and turn it into a very successful film career. Not everyone can do it, but he absolutely did it. And then Tim, off the back of SNL, just goes on this juggernaut run of movie hits. And so I did not see Happy Gilmore at the cinema. Was it even out at the cinema over here? I don't know. So what he does, Sandler does, he has a few things early on. He appears in four episodes of The Cosby Show, late 80s. I believe that was his first screen appearance. He's in the SNL spin-off movie Coneheads with Aykroyd and his very close friend David Spade. He's in a film called Airheads in 1994. And the reason why I've picked that one out is because this is typical of Sandler's career. Because in that film, he co-stars with the great Steve Buscemi. And what Sandler does, Sandler has this reparatory school of regulars who he just loves working with. And there's Alan Covert, there's Chris Rock, there's David Spade, there's Rob Schneider, it goes on, Kevin James, it goes on and on and on. And he just loves working with these guys. He knows how to get the best of these guys. He believes in them. And also, Tim, he'll have made them all wealthy individuals.
He really looks after his friends, like a very good person to get in with early on in the days. Yeah, it must be so nice. Because like the amount of films they did together, it must be like getting together and almost going on holiday for a bit. Yeah, a lot of his films have the same people in, and I really, really love that. I also want to give a fantastic shout out to the relationship he had with Chris Farley. I just thought was so lovely, and it's all compounded in like his last comedy special. But yeah, it really is like the sort of cliche off. You can see how much fun they're having on screen, and like that really pays off, and like, yeah, it's just a joy to watch, always.
So, for example, Chris Rock, again, part of that hardcore Sandler group, they had two films, Grown Ups and Grown Ups 2, and they were both huge global box office smashes. And I think this was when I worked at Shortlist. One of the guys at Shortlist interviewed Chris Rock, and Chris Rock told this story where I think it was after Grown Ups 1, there's a knock on his door and someone has dropped off, let's say, a Maserati, some like insane car, and it was a thank you gift from Adam Sandler, because one of the Grown Ups films has taken this phenomenal amount of global cash, and they'll all have done well out of it. So Sandler had treated some of his close pals who were on the films, who were on the movie, to this supercar. I can't remember. I'm not a car guy, but let's say it was a Maserati. I'm not sure what it was. But Chris Rock said he opened his door, looked at this car, and thought to himself, "Hang on, this is not a word I would use myself. I just want to say that." But he said, "Damn, I'm Adam Sandler's bitch."
Wow. Yeah.
Now that is that's a true friend who can make that sort of gag. Because if that was me, I would have sunk to my knees and wept tears of gratitude. I mean, Tim, you've hit the nail on the head. Good grief. What a guy to get in with.
Yeah. Because look, a lovely guy, crucially, but also, my God, he rewards you.
Oh, my God. So anyway, this mega run he has, I would say, I mean, it starts with, I mean, Gilmore and Billy Madison, he has this production company, Happy Madison Productions. The hardcore Sandler fans will know that the image, they have this moving image. It's almost like a logo at the start of the films. I believe that's Sandler's dad. You see a picture of it's Sandler. The voiceover is Sandler doing an impression of his dad. And so the production company is he's conflated Happy Gilmore with Billy Madison, because they were his two early breakthrough films, probably the two films where he realized, oh, I'm actually going to be a big star. So that's where that name comes from. And then off the back of those films, so Gilmore is 96, Madison is 95, and then he has 98, The Wedding Singer, The Waterboy, 98, Big Daddy, 99. And then I suppose, Tim, you would say that the first time where it felt like things were turning against him was Little Nicky in 2000, which I guess it's because he's playing against type, he's playing a more unusual role. But that was, I suppose, you know what, Tim, as we've discovered on this show, a lot of the movie greats, they're always going to have a little wobble, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just for the films you're going through just then, like, I love Waterboy so much. The Wedding Singer is one of the most joyous films of all time. But yeah, Little Nicky, for whatever reason, it's not great, if I can be very honest to the great man.
It's not, you know what, when I love someone, I think you're the same, Tim, I go into watching a film, it's like they've got an 8-goal lead.
Yeah.
And even I would concede, I did struggle with that. I struggled with that film. And I love the guy. However, he does what Sandler does, and he bounces back. Punch Drunk Love, which for a lot of Sandler fans is his greatest film. Paul Thomas Anderson. What Anderson does is he takes the Sandler persona of the sweet guy with the explosive temper. I mean, that ultimately... Sorry, I'm sort of patting myself on the back here. If you were going to distill if Chaplin was the little tramp, if you were going to distill Sandler to a sentence, it would be, generally speaking, the sweet guy with the explosive temper. And Paul Thomas Anderson gets this phenomenal performance out of him with Punch Drunk Love, which is just it's a beautiful film.
I think it's one of the best films ever made. It probably is my favorite Adam Sandler film, and I just, oh my God, I discovered it during lockdown, and it was just, I could not believe how brilliant it was. And I think that's when my love for Adam Sandler being like my number one guy was compounded. I think it's an absolutely incredible film. It's one of those ones where it is a comedy, but it is Adam Sandler doing some proper acting. And my God, it is absolutely stunning. It's exceptional.
I won't spoil it if you've not seen it, but the scene with the big pane of glass is...
Yeah.
That really got me. So I once interviewed Craig Roberts, actor, director, what a sweet dude. and we bonded over video games. But Craig Roberts was, frankly, educating me about the film Punch Drunk Love. And I did not know this. Maybe you knew this, Tim. It is a, it's a Superman movie. And so over the course of the film, Sandler's character gradually becomes Superman. And Craig says that the final scene of the film, Adam Sandler is wearing blue. He wears that blue suit, I think, pretty much all the way through the film. And in the final scene of the film, Emily Watson lovingly wraps her arms around his shoulders, and she is wearing red. And so the final scene is symbolic. And so Sandler, now that he has, I mean, this is a real spoiler, now that he has love in his life, has become Superman, because her red top is like Superman's red cape.
That is unbelievable. Wow. I love this film even more. My God, I need to watch it again.
We've dropped some great trivia on Comedy Heroes. That's number one, I think, isn't
it? That's number one. That is number one. Wow. Incredible. Incredible stuff, Craig.
Shout out to Craig Roberts. You've probably seen Submarine, directed by the great Richard Ayoade. Then there's Mr. Deeds, another gargantuan hit, and again features another regular Sandler collaborator in John Turturro. He even has animated success with Eight Crazy Nights. There's Anger Management with the great Jack Nicholson. There are a couple of wobbles. 51st, I mean, I say that 51st Dates is still a big hit, and I'm saying I just don't love it as much as I love The Wedding Singer, with whom he also stars Drew Barrymore. Spanglish, not one of his best. The Longest Yard, I know it's not one of his best. It was a hit. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Same with Click.
I remember going to see Click, and I remember going with my mum, my brother, and my brother's best friend. And we were all gearing up for the wacky knockabout adventure with Adam Sandler, pausing time and so on. It's quite dark.
It is dark, because you know what? You're absolutely right. And you know what? I had the exact same thing. It's Adam Sandler with a remote control that can effectively control time. This will be absolute hijinks. But no, there's some heart-wrenching stuff in there.
My mum, I remember her coming out worried she'd like traumatized these three children. Because it deals with heavy stuff.
It does deal with heavy stuff. I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry. No, I struggled with that. Mate, I loved Don't Mess with the Zohan. Almost a forgotten Sandler film, that. That was a hit. His old college roommate, Judd Apatow, is involved with that as well. Have you seen Don't Mess with the Zohan?
I haven't, but I remember it being absolutely gigantic in when it came out.
Turturro probably steals the show.
He's great. He's so great in everything.
Bedtime Stories, not for me. Now, Funny People. There aren't enough films made about stand-up comedy. Have you ever seen Funny People?
I haven't, and that feels like a real misstep in my viewing.
I would say the first three quarters of the film are a five-star movie.
Wow. Okay.
So Sandler plays a hugely successful stand-up comedian / movie star, and Seth Rogen is the young, aspiring up-and-comer, and Sandler's character takes Rogen under his wing. But then at the end, it goes full rom-com, which is fine. But all the stuff about stand-up is phenomenal up until then. And they do a great job of putting stand-up on screen. I loved the first three quarters of that film. And then it goes very rom-com-y at the end. Mind you, Eric Banner's great in it. I would say it falls into the category of nearly a great movie.
Okay. I definitely should check out. I'll say that.
I would say, Tim, if you go, if you look at all his movies, if there, if any that you've not seen, I'd make that the number one to watch.
Yeah, I think so. I'm looking for it now.
Yeah, Leslie Mann's great.
That's the main one I'm missing out on, I'd say.
Also, I don't know if you do. Sometimes, Tim, when it emerges that two titans were pals when they were kids, there's a little cynical part of me that thinks, were they really? Is this just a line to sell a movie?
Yeah.
And then just to really make me eat my words, this film starts with video footage of Sandler and the writer-director, Judd Apatow, fannying about as students.
That's so, oh God, that's so lovely. Yeah. It's
Apatow's captured Sandler pillicking about on the phone, and he must be late teens. It's really wonderful and makes the film even more special. The fact that those two genuinely do go all the way back. So the Oscar nomination is something that still eludes Sandler to this day, which is mystifying to me. Punch Drunk Love that's quite an injustice. Yeah. I would say that Funny People, I've just finished that book, Oscar Wars. Thank you, Bearded Genius / Nuruddin, for the recommendation. The Sandler stuff isn't in there. If you were going to do a follow-up, you could include Sandler's Oscar pushes. As I say, still eludes him. The big one, Tim, and we've got to get to it, is I would say his best. I mean, I know you're saying Punch Drunk Love. I think Uncut Gems is his greatest acting performance. 2019, wasn't Oscar nominated. He was so gracious and charming and was such a good sport and posted a very classy post about not being nominated. But that is a hell of a film, isn't it?
If Punch Drunk Love is not my favourite, it's probably Uncut Gems. I just absolutely adore it. I remember going to see it in the cinema, and it was one of the most exciting cinema experiences ever, because it was a full room. Everyone was so... That final 20 minutes or so is just... It's absolutely astonishing, and it's not comedy. It's just incredible, incredible, incredible tension from the wonderful Safdie brothers and, to be fair, Adam Sandler. It is stunning. It is absolutely stunning, and the fact it didn't get an Oscars nod in anything is absolutely brutal, horrific. I love it so much, and Adam Sandler getting a nomination for that would have been the greatest moment of my life.
we'd have both been skidding on our knees like that Peter Kay gif that we often send to each other. Sorry, that absolutely. I often send to you. I apologize. It always makes me laugh. Tim, I would say that Adam Sandler, not only is he incredible, and he's such a loyal person, as we've mentioned, all these guys that he's helped. I mean, he must have essentially bought houses for these guys. Oh. But what he's also brilliant at is his radar is incredible, because I had never heard of these Safdie brothers before. And so for him to tap into that and to bring these guys to the forefront and turn these guys into two of the most exciting people in cinema is extraordinary.
Yeah. Like, I've really got into Safdie brothers previous work now. Like, they're very, very cool New York hipster directors. So I think it was a really bold choice for them to cast Sandler, but for Sandler to go with it as well. And I just, it's a perfect pairing. And I believe Josh Safdie's next film also has Adam Sandler in the lead. It's going to be great.
That movie, if you've not seen it, so the kitchen drama series, The Bear, and you think, how gripping can a show sat in a kitchen be? And then I remember having episode one spinning and was basically white knuckling the armchair watching this. And so Uncut Gems is about a jeweler.
Yeah, yeah.
So you think, how gripping and tense can this be? And honest to goodness, it plays like a pedal to the metal thriller.
Yeah, guys, it's one of the films I feel most passionate about. And also, it led to Adam Sandler winning an Independent Spirit Award, which again is a hipster film awards. He wins it. He gives a beautiful, wonderful speech. It's just, look, this guy is a huge, 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 gigantic success, but he still has like an underdog feel about him. So him winning a Best Lead Award for me is just beautiful. It's just so brilliant.
You know what, Tim? You have uncovered the essence of what makes Adam Sandler. You know, why is person X a megastar, but person Y is not? And as I've said earlier, Sandler does have star quality, but you've taken it further, and you're right. Even though he's had all this phenomenal success, he'll be richer than Midas, and yet he still has that schlubby, or shucks, underdog charm. You're always rooting for the guy.
Yeah. I don't know how he does it at all, because he's, like what I would say, he's been some of the biggest comedy films there'll ever be. But he's still R. Adam when I'm watching him. It's just, I don't know how he's done it, but I just love the guy so much, so much, so much.
I'm going to say the sort of thing that a stalker would say.
Yes.
I wish I was his best friend.
I think he does stand up. I think he is my number one dream bucket list, always be comedy booking ever. Obviously, that goes without saying.
He was spotted playing basketball in Clapham.
He was. Oh my God. I'm so glad you know, Sax. I also noticed that.
And I got a pang of jealousy. I was jealous of Clapham.
Yeah, I was like, is there a world where I can somehow get him on?
Have you ever seen the film Hustle?
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, again, so he plays a basketball scout, someone who's got a great eye for talent. And that's the movie, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
And he spots this guy who he thinks is a special talent, and then the film goes from there. Now, this was a real lie. The guy's a real NBA player, Juancho Hernan Gomez. Now, what happened? The call went out. Would any basketball player like to be in this Adam Sandler movie? And I think we were on lockdown, and so a lot of basketball players were just desperate for something to do. So this guy reaches out. Now, sometimes when sports stars try acting, let's diplomatically say that they're better sports stars, right?
Yes.
But I thought he was brilliant as Bo Cruz.
He was great. He was really good. And again, in that vein, Kevin Garnett, the actual basketball player, Kevin Garnett, the actual basketball player in Uncut Gems. And honestly, if I was on the Oscar Academy, I'm also giving him a Best Supporting. He's just incredible.
That's a great shout. Yeah. Also, as a father to two young girls, the Hotel Transylvania films will always have a special place in the Gill heart. He also had a Netflix deal. He's made some films for Netflix. I would say with varying degrees of success. There's a couple of films. I struggled with The Ridiculous Six.
I swerved that. I thought, this probably isn't peak Sandler.
I struggled with this was not part of the Netflix thing, but I'm just picking out a couple of others that I struggled with. I struggled with Pixels.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's a whole thing as well. Video game movies are just so hard to do. And that followed that trend.
But then, you know what? If you're going to have a career that goes on as long as Sandler's, you're going to have a couple of wobbles along the way. And if Adam Sandler did a podcast where he went through my career and he picked out a couple of ropey gigs, I'd have to be like, well, yeah, fair enough. You know, I've done a lot of gigs. I've done a lot of gigs. Not all of them are going to be flowers and standing ovations. So, Tim, the three films he's got coming up. Untitled, Adam Sandler, Safdie Brothers Project.
Give it to me straight away.
So that's the one that you've already mentioned.
Yes, please.
So as it stands, Tim, the Safdie Brothers are doing separate things, but Sandler is optimistic that they'll get back together.
Me too.
So they're supposed to do a movie about baseball memorabilia, and at the moment that is on pause.
Details are cloudy with what's going on, really.
However, Josh Safdie, it looks like, will direct Adam Sandler's next comedy special for Netflix. Now that's exciting.
My God. I can't wait. 100% fresh, his most recent special on Netflix. It's one of the great specials. It is absolutely, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And the fact he's in another one, and it's directed by Josh Safdie, is heaven for me. It is a dream collaboration.
There's an upcoming film, untitled Noah Baumbach Picture. Yes, Please. Written by Noah Baumbach and Emily Mortimer. With Adam Sandler, Isla Fisher, George Clooney, Emily Mortimer. Absolutely hook it to my veins. Greta Gerwig's in it as well. Jim Broadbent's in it. Jesus wet.
This film. He works with such brilliant directors. He works with such interesting choices. It's really cool.
And then the cherry on top, there are talks that Happy Gilmore 2 is finally happening, just to tie it all in a bow. Now this would be tremendously exciting. So Christopher McDonald, who played Shooter McGavin, one of the greatest villains in cinema history. Yep, you heard.
Agreed.
Shooter McGavin, one of the greatest villains in cinema history. He's perfect. Revealed that he bumped into Sandler recently. Sandler said, check this out, and showed him a draft of the script for Happy Gilmore 2. Be still, my beating heart. Get the Oscars out.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you do wonder, will they one day do Oscars for comedy acting? I mean, probably not, I suppose. They've been going on for long enough now. But nevertheless, if he's going to win an Oscar, Tim, of the films coming up, let's be real. It's most likely the Noah Baumbach or Safdie Brother collaboration rather than the out-and-out silliness of Happy Gilmore.
I'd say more likely, yeah. And I really think the only reason he hasn't been getting those nominations are because of his silly back catalogue. That's the only thing I can think of. Some of the stuffier members of the Academy maybe are like, we can't give the little Nicky guy a nomination.
You know what? That probably is what it comes down to, isn't it? Stuffiness.
I think so. And I mean, it's that is not good enough, if you ask me. But look, he's had a very successful career anyway. I don't think he's at home praying for an Oscar, but trust me, I am. So, yeah.
I just think in terms of this guy has played such an important role in the history of comedy. And also, just for pure bums on seats, you know, cinema, as with a lot of things in popular culture, cinema has obviously had a really rough time of it. And anyone who helps to put bums on cinema seats is quite the hero in my eyes. And that's something that Sandler has done consistently for over 30 years. Now, before we go, I think a couple of things we should mention. I think if you're a comedy fan, I think what you'd probably like are a couple of deep cuts. And Tim, if I could put a deep cut forward and a real measure of the man, a part of Sandler's genius is that he's very self-aware. And he did a little known sketch years ago, and it's the roast of Adam Sandler.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we probably shouldn't spoil it, but if you go onto YouTube, and some of you are probably thinking, I didn't even know this existed. Neither did we until relatively recently. But there's a roast of Adam Sandler. Just go onto YouTube, watch it. 10 out of 10.
Yeah, we watched it at the ABC Mothership for Tommy Field weeks ago, and we were squawking. My goodness.
We were squawking. Also, I think a measure of the man is how other people talk about him. And to listen to the likes of David Spade and Drew Barrymore and Ben Stiller. In fact, Tim, we talk about the Mark Twain Award for Comedy quite a lot on this pod. His is probably the greatest I've ever seen, because all the stars come out, a lot of them lovingly take the piss, and it's a real treat. And at the end of it, he gives, I mean, as you say, one of the classiest speeches. Really beautiful. A man who's very grateful, a man who is aware of everything that he's achieved, takes nothing for granted. Again, great family man, very loyal friend. Have you seen the David Spade speech?
Yes.
Part of the, that is superb. Oh,
God.
Spade goes, you know what? Turn off the auto cue. I'm gonna speak from the heart. And then you see him in real time realize that he has nothing to say from his cold black heart. He clearly feels nothing for his friend Adam Sandler. Obviously, it's a joke. So he goes, I'm gonna speak from the heart. And then you see like his face as if saying, Christ, I've got nothing. And then he goes, oh, turn it back on. And then you can, is Sandler mic'd up?
I feel like it, yeah.
He must be, because you hear him squawk with laughter.
Yeah, that is a James Gill joke, if I could think of a James Gill joke.
Yes. I mean, I'm not saying that David Spade has nicked it from me, because that would be ridiculous. But yeah, that's a gag. I've not done it for ages. There's a gag used to always be comedy. Tim, turn the microphone off. I just want to speak to this guy personally. I just want this guy to hear. Just turn my mic off. I don't want anyone else to hear this. And then the gag is that my mic is still on and I'll say something very personal. Is that stagecraft? That's what that is, isn't it?
Oh, it is stagecraft personified.
Anything to do with stagecraft, I'm an absolute sucker for it. Thankfully, my partner in crime, Tim Lewis, is always on board. Because Tim, in the hands of another showrunner, whenever I'm doing that sort of thing, they might go, oh, he's serious. And, you know, thank you for always essentially being telepathic and having my back.
Oh, you're so welcome.
Now, in terms of any other business, we didn't mention his studio albums. I own every single one of them. I had them all on CD. Where they are now, I've no idea, but they're all going to laugh at you. What the hell happened to me? What's your name? Stan and Judy's Kid and Shh, Don't Tell. And to any hardcore Sandler fans, they are great fun. There's a running sketch called The Peeper, which is wonderful. And then there's a sketch about a golf professional who suddenly starts blowing it in a big tournament called The Champion. These are great tracks. So if you fancy a full Sandler deep dive and you've never done the comedy specials, you're in for a real treat. Now, this is me probably falling for Hollywood schmaltz, but Sandler strikes me as a guy with a very, he's got a very big brain, but I think he also has a very big heart, Tim.
Oh, absolutely. I think there's heart in everything he does. Yeah, absolutely.
I wonder if that's probably why we both love him so much. So here is to the great Adam Sandler. We didn't even mention the Hanukkah song. Oh my, there's, as I say, we could have done so much. One of the all-time greats in the history of comedy movies, but also one of the all-time greats in the history of comedy, full stop.
Yeah, just look, my number one guy. What else can I say?
If you want, sometimes we'll close on little stats and bits of trivia. At the time of recording, his movies have grossed over $2 billion worldwide. That's incredible. Given, correct me if I'm wrong, it's not like he's doing it off the back of like Marvel IP or anything like that.
No, absolutely not. It's a lot of it is Happy Madison stuff he's doing himself.
And sorry, when I say IP, that is intellectual property. I'm sorry if you already knew that, but I feel obliged to explain what I mean by that. And then Oh my gosh. Apparently, he, I believe in 2020, he signed a new four movie deal with Netflix worth over $250 million.
Wow.
Respect. Do you know what? Of all the people I've ever interviewed, he's probably the, he'd probably be my number one for the person that I've not interviewed, but would love to.
Well, look, I'm hoping just as much as you that can change. I'd love that.
Adam, if you're listening, drop us a line. We'll see you at the Tommy Field in Kennington. What a guy. One of the all-time greats. If you want to submit someone to be an Always Be Comedy comedy hero, please drop us a line, the team at alwaysbecomedy.com with the email header comedy heroes. Tim, that was an absolute blast.
Oh my God. I loved it so much. We, look, if you can't tell, we're fans.
We're fans. Take care, guys. Have a lovely weekend. We're back this Tuesday. Tim, who's it this Tuesday?
Ashley Story.
Ashley Story. See you this Tuesday. Oh, Ashley Story, look out for the upcoming BBC show Dinosaur. We've seen it and it is terrific. Hopefully we'll see you at Always Be Comedy. If you want to see our full listings, they are at alwaysbecomedy.com/tickets. Take care, guys. Thank you as always. Bye.